Every business owner knows that growth, though desired, brings its own set of problems. Rapid growth reveals problems deep in the organization related to people, processes, and priorities. What's true in business is also true in the church. The early church grew rapidly. But then a problem arose among the Greek widows that threatened the apostles' focus on their real priorities of prayer and the preaching of God's word. To serve or not to serve the widows. The apostles put first things first by delegating the responsibility for serving widows to seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom. We know them as the first deacons. Are you helping your pastor put first things first? I'm Ron Jones, and this is Something Good.
Hello, and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Crossway Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for stopping by. When you read the book of Acts, we see that the early church faced several challenges from without. Political leaders, religious leaders, anyone opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Persecution began almost immediately and grew worse over time. But today, Ron takes us to a different kind of problem, one the church faced from within, as he continues his teaching series, AD, Acts of the Apostles. Stay with us now or visit us at somethinggoodradio.org, where you can listen to any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the podcast at Spotify or wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Now from Acts chapter 6, here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, putting first things first.
Problem solving is something that every leader has to learn how to do well, because problems arise in any organization, whether it's a business in the marketplace or in the military, even in a ministry setting. The leader or leaders in those organizations need to know how to problem solve and to even expect problems to arise and to know how to get after those problems in a way that moves the organization in a positive direction. With that in mind, we shouldn't be surprised as we're studying through the book of Acts that a problem arises in Acts chapter 6. And let me just summarize where we've been so far in our study of the early church, and I'll say it again. Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes and Peter preaches his first sermon. 3,000 people come to know Jesus on that birthday of the church. Two chapters later, he preaches his second sermon. 5,000 more are added. That's just the men. They add to that the women and children. And what you have is an early church that is explosive in growth. And with that growth in the early church, as in your business or in any organization, what we learn is that problems do arise. And we learn a very important principle in any organizational leadership or dynamic, and that is that growth brings its own set of problems, doesn't it? You may know this as a business leader. Maybe you know it as a military leader. Perhaps you know it as a ministry leader. Growth brings its own set of problems. And this was true in the early church. Let me read Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, so we have a context for our discussion today. It says, "Now in these days when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full numbers of the disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Holy Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.' And what they said pleased the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. These they set before the apostles, and they prayed and laid their hands on them. And now verse 7, and the word of God continued to increase, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Again, that the early church was exploding in growth, and growth presents its own set of problems, and a problem arose in the early church. Let me try to explain what was happening. At this time in the early church, it was a Jewish thing, and it was a Jerusalem thing. We don't get to the Gentile expansion of the church until Acts chapter 10. Right now, it is a combination of Hebrew-speaking Jews, and what we learn from the text here, there was also a group of Greek-speaking Jews, okay? The Hellenists are known as the Greek-speaking Jews, and a complaint arose in the early church coming from the Hellenists that the Hellenist or Greek-speaking Jewish widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. Now, 2,000 years ago, some of the poorest people in society were widows because the law did not allow when a husband died for the transfer of assets to his wife. And so that's just the way it was in this culture 2,000 years ago. And so a widow in this culture became one of the poorest and most dependent people. And the early church and the apostles had some kind of means to address those needs. They called it the daily distribution. It was a food distribution to widows, and it was given to the Hebrew-speaking Jewish widows. But somebody noticed that the Greek-speaking Jewish widows were being neglected, and they brought the complaint to the early apostles. Now, notice it was a complaint, and complaints arise all the time in any organization. If I had a dollar for every complaint that has come to me over the years and 2.5 decades of ministry, I'd probably be a wealthy man. We don't have a complaint department in the church. A complaint department is usually an invitation to receive a complaint without a solution, right? That's how a lot of complaints come. And this is how this complaint came. Not all complaints are illegitimate complaints. Some complaints are very legitimate that were maybe resulted from an oversight in the administration and organization, and that was the case here. The apostles didn't intend to neglect the Greek-speaking Jewish widows, but that was what had happened. And somebody brought that complaint, which was an indication of discontent and dissatisfaction somewhere in the body of Christ there. They brought this to the attention of the apostles. Again, it shouldn't surprise us. It's not a cause for alarm. If handled properly, it shouldn't stop the growth and the forward progress of the gospel. But it is a reminder to us that in any organization, in a business, in the military, in a ministry setting, even in your own home, complaints arise, problems arise. And every leader needs to know how to address those complaints and address those problems. I jotted down this week, you know, three different categories where the problem might be. It may be a people problem or a processes problem, or it could be a problem related to our priorities. And every time we have a problem or a complaint that arises in the church, we need to determine the legitimacy of it. And we also then need to look, is it a people problem? Do we have the right leaders in place? You know, the old adage, do you have the right people on the bus and are they sitting in the right seats on the bus? Is it a processes problem? Do we have an administration or organizational issue that we need to address? Something that might have worked when we were this size organization but isn't working as we've grown and expanded. So we look at processes. Maybe our priorities are out of whack in some way. This gives us an opportunity to identify primary and secondary tasks, to ask the question, what is most important and what cannot and must not be sacrificed? What is our mission? What is our vision? What is our strategy? And are we pinpointing that in a very efficient kind of way? All these kinds of organizational questions come up to a leader or a group of leaders when a complaint or a problem arises. Now, I hear some people from time to time that say, I love God and I love Jesus, but I don't want to be, you know, I don't get into that organized religion thing. And I kind of jokingly say, well, would you rather have disorganized religion? And I don't mean that in a provocative way, but The God we serve is a God of order. And the body of Christ is a living organism, right? We're a living organism, the body of Christ. But every living organism, whether it's a single cell or a complex organism, is miraculously organized by our Creator, right? You can look under a microscope and see a single cell, a living organism. That biology, the anatomy, the physiology is highly, highly organized. And so every organism, including the body of Christ, needs organization. And when problems arise, when complaints arise, we need to look inside the organization in terms of people, processes, and even priorities, and introduce some positive changes that help us get down the road. Even to look at, hey, is there some of the status quo we need to do away with so we can move forward in a positive way because, well, the ministry has changed or the organization has changed. All of these kinds of things, leaders in ministry, in business, in the military, even dad, as a leader in your home, you have to address complaints and problems that arise. Now, how do we do that? Well, as I read this simple text, Acts chapter 6, verses 1 to 7, I just jotted down a 7-step problem-solving strategy for what it's worth. And we're going to learn from the apostles how they went after this. And let me say this on the front end, because I'm going to give you this on the back end. I'm going to tell you why it is absolutely critical we get this right in the church. I'll give you the reason why at the end. But for now, step number one to problem solving and prioritizing in the church, I call identification.
Don't go away. We're only about halfway through today's message with Dr. Ron Jones. Today's teaching is part of Ron's series, AD, Acts of the Apostles. Look for it online at somethinggoodradio.org. Ron joins me now to talk about his latest book, The Jesus Way to Pray. Ron, we continue to hear great things about your book, The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. What inspired you to write this book?
Thanks for the question, Brian. You know, I think all of us, no matter how long we've been following Jesus, can use some help with our prayer life. I know I can, and I'm supposed to be a professional at this, right? I can totally understand why the disciples approached Jesus and asked him to teach them how to pray. Fortunately, the model prayer Jesus gave his disciples is recorded for us in the pages of Scripture and preserved for nearly 2,000 years. It's known worldwide as the Lord's Prayer. I call it the Jesus Way to Pray.
Ron, you say in the introduction to the book, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus. What do you mean by that?
Well, Brian, to say, Lord, teach us to pray, as Jesus' disciples did, is kind of like asking Michael Jordan or LeBron James to teach us how to play the game of basketball, or Leonardo da Vinci to teach us how to paint a masterpiece like The Last Supper or the Mona Lisa, or Michelangelo to teach us how to sculpt a marble stone into David or the Pietà. Truly, nobody is in a better position to teach us how to pray than Jesus.
Thanks so much for sharing this important resource with us, Pastor. Again, that book is called The Jesus Way to Pray, An Intimate Journey Through the Lord's Prayer. Order your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Problem solving is an essential skill for any church leader. It also comes in handy in marriage, in business, and in our personal relationships. For a healthy way to solve problems, let's join Ron for the rest of today's Something Good radio message, Putting First Things First.
You have to identify the problem. Clearly identify the problem. in any organization, ministry, marketplace, military, wherever you are in leadership. The complaint comes, the problem arises. In this case, it was a legitimate complaint, the neglect of the Greek-speaking Jewish widows. But you have to clearly identify the problem. You'll never be able to solve a problem you cannot clearly identify. It was easy to identify the problem here, and verse 1 tells us about the neglect in the daily distribution. But anytime you're trying to solve a problem, it's always a good time to say, have we clearly identified the problem? Or is there something underneath all of this? Is there something that is disguising, maybe a peripheral issue that is disguising what the real issue is? You know, when you're trying to solve problems in a marriage and you're doing marriage counseling, the problem that you're dealing with is not always the real problem. And a skilled marriage counselor is going to dive in a little bit deeper into both the husband and the wife to discover what the real problem is. And here's where you need to take some time. Don't rush through the first step. Clearly identify the problem. It's a good time to do an agenda check, too. You know, if you're a leader in an organization and a problem arises, a complaint arises, is there anybody in and around that problem or complaint that has a personal agenda, hidden or not? And it's a good time to just press the pause button and ask the question, have we clearly identified the problem? Are there any agendas here that we need to deal with before we go on to presenting solutions? So step number one is identification. Step number two is clarification. Identifying the real problem is going to lead to a clarification of roles and responsibilities within the organization. And this is what happens in Acts chapter 6. Look at it in verse 2. It says, and the 12 summoned the full number of the disciples and said, let me stop right there. Notice what's happening here. The 12, who are the apostles, summon the full number of disciples. I take that to mean they got the entire church together. Thousands of them into one place to deal with the problem. All right? There was something at stake here. And they needed to handle this problem, you know, correctly. So they get everybody together in one place, and they said, all right, we see the problem. We're going to stop doing everything we're doing as apostles, and we're going to go over here and serve tables. Is that what they say? Not at all. Here's what the apostles said. It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. And verse 4, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I take this to be the apostles coming to that moment of clarification. We have a problem over here. We have a complaint. It's a legitimate one that we need to address. But it's not one that we should drop everything that we're doing. In this case, the time that we take to devote to prayer and to the ministry of the word to go over here and serve in the food distribution. It was a clarification of their roles and responsibilities. It was the apostles putting first things first in terms of what they were to do as leaders in the church. I remember years ago, one of the first churches I served, this goes back 15, 20 years ago, I arrived and that week, the chairman of the deacons called me, and he says, hey, I want to take you to lunch, Pastor, and welcome you to town and all that. I said, great. We went to lunch, and no sooner did we sit down that I kind of sensed there was a little bit of an agenda. He says, Pastor, he says, I'm going to pay for your lunch today, but don't get used to it. This is the last time I'll probably ever pay for your lunch. I thought, okay. I said, well, thank you. I didn't expect you to pay today, but thank you for doing that, and I appreciate your generosity. And he went on to take out a list, a very long list, of what he thought my job was and began to tell me, you know, I expect you to do this and this and this. A lot of things that he was doing as a chairman of the deacons. Now, boom, it's on you, Pastor. And we had a very interesting conversation about my job description, my biblical job description. I took him to Acts chapter 6. And we also went to Ephesians chapter 4, where it talks about how God gives the church, you know, prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers to do all the work of the ministry. Is that what it says? No, it says for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. And I learned a long time ago, my job as a lead pastor is I'm kind of a player coach, all right? And I have certain roles and responsibilities that are primary to me and to what we do as a church. But my job also is to equip and to train and to mobilize the saints for the work of ministry. One person can't do it all, and you can't hire enough pastors to do it all. And thankfully, you know, we get that here because we have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers that we are equipping and training and mobilizing into ministry. Well, my chairman of the deacon friend years ago didn't quite understand that, and he kind of, you know, ruffled himself toward the end of the lunch, and he just says, well, okay, but we all know that it'll just take some time for you to become the pastor we all want you to be. Ooh, okay, duly noted, and we went from there. But it was a clarification, a time for clarification in roles and responsibilities. Third step is delegation. Once you've identified the problem and you've clarified roles and responsibilities, now as a leader, you need to employ the fine art of delegation. Look at how it falls out in chapter 6 and verse 3. The apostles say, therefore, brothers, pick out from among you seven men of good repute, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. You know, the apostles could have looked at this and said, well, we're going to do the job of seven men. Maybe the leader, maybe Peter said, okay, I get the problem. I'm going to drop all of this. And he tries to do the job of seven men. Or he could get seven men to do the job. And every leader has to come to that crossroads in his leadership. Are you going to learn the fine art of delegation and raising up other leaders? Or are you going to try to do the job of seven people and flame out somewhere along the way? You know, Moses had to learn this in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 18 is a case study in the fine art of delegation. Moses was the leader of nearly 2 million Hebrews traveling through the wandering wilderness on their way to the promised land for 40 years. And early on in all that, in Acts chapter 18, two chapters before he went up Mount Sinai and brought down the Ten Commandments, here's Moses sitting on a chair, and there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people lined up to have a word with Moses to help him, ask him to solve some issue that arose in their tribe or their community. And read Exodus chapter 18. Moses' father-in-law named Jethro sees this, and he pulls his son aside, his son-in-law, and he says, son, you're going to have to figure out a better way to do this. These people can't stand in line for hours and hours and hours to get a word with you. You're going to have to find captains of five and captains of 50 and captains of hundreds to handle this.
Thanks for being here with us for Ron's message, Putting First Things First. If you missed part of today's teaching, or if you'd like to hear it again, visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
You know, God loves to do new things, doesn't he? You know, don't get too settled into this world, because as I read the Bible, in the last book of the Bible, there's coming a new heaven, a new earth, and a new holy city, Jerusalem. God loves to do new things. Behold, I have done something new, or I am doing something new, he says in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away, all things are becoming new. You're not an improved version of yourself. You're a brand new creation in Christ. And God loves to do new things. And when problems arise in the church, when a complaint comes, if handled properly, it's an opportunity for God to show up and do something new and to expand the gospel.
That's next time in part two of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Putting First Things First. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis saying God bless and Thanks for listening.